Tired of losing power? Feeling powerless? Call Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Electric today for a free estimate on a whole home standby generator. Never be without power again. Fully installed systems starting at just $99 a month. Power your sump pump, your fridge, your freezer, your garage doors, your heating and cooling, so your home stays safe and comfortable. Four Seasons is the largest and most award-winning Generac dealer in Illinois.
For the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago, the grudge matches on the gridirons might be gone, but get ready to hit the ball and touch them all at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the real MVPs of SUVs. If you're thinking about rounding third and heading for home in a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to take the next step and batter up. Need the power and durability of a Silverado? The all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer? The spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban? Or the sporty city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to win the game like a pro. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate the nearest dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Game six, baby. The Rockets force a game six as they beat. Hell, they're not just beat, man. They beat down the Houston Rockets, beat down the Golden State Warriors. Many people thought they would close this thing out. Fair to understand and think that, but
I don't like the Warriors.
The Rockets from the jump would have none of it, and they beat the dog out of them from start. And now I know Udoka got a little frustrated. He had to put his ones back in the game. Because his backups started getting beat down by Golden State's backups. But besides that little moment, and when they came in restored order, it was a dominating performance from the Rockets. And Clint, it didn't quite go the way maybe we thought it would, right? Like we maybe considered that if they had to win, right, this was gonna have to be a thing in which I would think Şengün, Jalen Green would have to really star at this. And really it wasn't. It was just everybody chipping in. Hell, when you look at it, I mean, Fred led them in scoring at 26. Amen had 25. And Dylan had 24 or so right there. Like, those were the leading scorers. And so they didn't need Jalen Green to have a game two or to be great, whatever, right? Like, we talked about it. It's on him. Clint, his numbers don't look that different than some of these other games. Now, we do appreciate him getting into double figures. That is nice. But he goes 27 minutes in that game, Clint, 11 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists on exactly the amount of field goals he took and made in the previous game, 3 of 8 shooting, 0 turnovers to boot there. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch, I see some people already chiming in. How would you describe, what's your feelings on what you saw from Jalen Green last night?
I'm good with it.
Was 3 minutes in pool.
Well, look, I'm there with Jalen Green. I mean, he did knock down a couple of shots early, so I don't think that Ime Udoka, I'm going to come on here and say Ime Udoka should have yanked him immediately, but he is exactly, you know, what we talked about yesterday. I mean, he's a 10 to 12 point guy is what you can bank on a decent night. He's a role player. I mean, that's the problem. When he's not going for 38, when he's not made the priority, when he's not the predominant ball handler, he borderline disappears. I mean, he just blends in with everybody else. And well, Clint, so
that may be what he is.
Well, no, it's fair.
We may be learning that he is a role player that has extreme talent that can jump up and like Pudzinski can jump up and give you 26 one night.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and that's fine. But that's to me, that's what we saw last night was you know, obviously it wasn't his night to go give you 38, and he just kind of blended in with the others, and you can give or take, you know, just rotate through as you see fit. No need to make any special efforts to get him the ball or to get him involved. He was just really one of the others, to be honest with you. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm good with it. Yeah, it's when you this game, Ron, was a, and I'll take it. Look, I'll take it any way that I can get it with the Rockets. But I'm having a really hard time really pulling anything from this game other than their guys got another day rest. I mean, you know, because you jumped out, you were so hot shooting the ball at home early on that you jumped out to literally between a 20 and 30 point lead, up to a 30 point lead at times early in the first half. Like, I don't know how often that's going to be the case. And then the way that they just bowed out, you know, midway through the third, they just completely bowed out and said, we're going to take advantage of this rest time instead of blow our wad in a game that we're already down 30. So, I just love the win, great team effort. But I, as a Rockets fan, I'm sitting here going, what can we really pull from what we saw? And I think you hit that nail on the head. I don't know if this is where you were going with it, but I think you hit that nail on the head earlier with the Amen Thompson, take.
Yeah,
that my thoughts are more about him than Jalen Green. Like what he was able to do and how he was able to be deployed, if you will, and impact the game was big.
Yeah, well, it's just Jalen has been really like a big point of conversation with his play in this series. And and again, as I said here, what were your feelings on Jalen's performance last night? Guy Gene from YouTube and Twitch said, how Clint feels about Dalton Schultz is how I feel about Jalen Green from the text line. I would say Jalen Green was going to score a lot more last night until he hurt his knee. After that, he wasn't the same the rest of the game. He was asking for the ball. Fred was waving him off at times, it seemed like. Someone texted in, my thoughts are on Jalen Green as he is missing a killer mentality. Cam Whitmore has that killer mentality. Unfortunately, he's in Emi's doghouse right now. Hey, Jalen took 8 shots. That's a problem. Shooters have to shoot, from the text line. My thought was it was just clarity to me, just more clarity. Like, if you know, I think we probably got to stop, and you just said it a little bit, stop walking into the games with the expectation that he's the guy that was the one who led your team scoring this year.
Yeah.
Like, just right now, of what he's shown us, he has the outlier game. They played 5 of them. What's he got, Tyler? He's 10 away from having a straight. He's 7, 8, 9, and 11. That's what he has had in the other 4 games.
Yeah, 7, 9, and 8 were the order of those 3 disastrous games.
So he scored 7, 8, 9, and 11 in 4 of the 5 games. And in this one, to me, it's just like, hey boss, just don't be a disaster. Like, and Kick Rock said it earlier, said this as well. The 0 turnovers were a big deal. Yep. Yeah, 2 assists, 0 turnovers. The last game, he had 1 assist, 5 turnovers. And early in the game, he was turning it over. Like, Buddy Hield was just taking the ball from him. Yeah. Just don't be a disaster. And like you said it. I didn't say it. Thought of that. Be the role player.
Yeah.
Be the role player. And if you have a night, maybe we'll go to – but be a role player. But that is what he is showing himself to be. And I think, to me, I just got more clarity. Because, hey, man, if you ain't coming out hunting it on this one, if you ain't put together those 2 games, people talking about you, people coming out, Stephen A. Smith saying, do you realize you are an NBA player?
Right, right.
Like Charles Barkley calling. If you didn't come out here and you thought, I'm going to get up 8 shots tonight, nah. You ain't got that. Be a disaster.
But that's the deal. And this is whether you're trying to make a positive or negative point about Jalen Green in last night's game, is like, I think we'd have a different story. One way or another, we'd have a different story today if that had been a 4-quarter game. And if they'd have needed somebody in the second half be a difference maker, right? We would either be talking about, hey, man, I mean, Thompson showed up, and we were talking about him more because the game was actually a four-quarter game. Or, you know, the way that, that Fred VanVleet's been playing lately. He got let off the hook because of how the game ended up going, if we're being completely honest. Like, because to your point, he may have gotten up more shots than that if that had been a need, if he wouldn't have played more than 2.5 quarters, like legitimately played more than 2.5 quarters. I mean, you
everybody
know what I mean?
Everybody else so, did, though.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Everybody else did. Everybody else got them up. And when they had to come back in, everybody else got up shots. Right.
Which may be the best thing for the Rockets, because you saw what happened.
Yeah, and maybe that is it. Like, there is a thought, Clint, of, as you said, we were both saying it. Game two, do everything in. I think we said it again in the last couple of games. It seemed like they made a real concerted effort to really run things through him to get him hot. And maybe that's just not it. And maybe there is clarity on that. And to just say, hey, man, if he's just going to be a role player.
Yeah.
And to blend in. And you would think, you know, the guy who averaged 21 a game would not do that. But right now, he's just giving clarity to the situation, right, to this thing. Hell, man, he should have been out. Like, you'd have been out. He should have been ultra aggressive. Now, the person that was ultra aggressive, the people that were ultra aggressive early on to help to get that lead, to me, seemed to be Fred and Amen Thompson.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, no question.
So, yeah, as I see some people rolling in, Jalen is wilting under the bright lights of the playoffs, Fern. Yeah, and Fern, I know you're the one who said you thought he'd have 35 tonight. Yeah, I know. It's sometimes you just have to accept what.
I've been there, Fern.
What he is.
I've been there, man. I've been the one expecting mid-20s to 30s and feeding him the rock to going, hey, man, that just wasn't the answer. I was dead wrong.
Like, I'm like still there, the thought of me thinking, like, hey, he got to 11. I'm sitting up here looking at Tyler, and I know Tyler's got best bets, and I know he's got to get to 16. And I'm sitting there with
I thought you was going to get there, bub.
Would have been nice, but still a solid night.
He didn't seem like he was interested in getting shots up. I'm looking at him. I'm like, come on, man, get there. Yeah. Come on, get there. Get to it. I said, man, what the hell am I doing? This guy's got 11. This guy, I'm never willing enough. This guy's got 11 points. Like,
is that my boy Ron?
That's it, man.
Like, I mean, he barely got up enough shots. If you hit them all, he'd get to 15, 16. Yeah.
Like Charles said the other night, that you don't even know if you're hot. You shot it 8 times and made 3 of them. You didn't give me. You don't even know if you don't even know if you got it going. But that right there is what a role player does. Like, that's a line of a role player.
Yep.
That's a like, you go start looking at the other role players and look at his games. Those are the lines of a role player. And I think, to me, he is giving clarity to this situation. So, but they got a dub, and to me, it's no longer the thought of, hey, man, let's try to go through this thing with Jalen. It is, you got to attack it and approach it the way you did in game 5. All right, Clint, that wasn't the only game. The Lakers got themselves closed out last night by the Timberwolves.
Boy, I've heard. I didn't watch it, but boy, I've heard this morning.
Well, it was.
How you feel about it, man? Your boy LeBron's heading to the crib. He's done, huh?
Yeah. It was early. Well, you're watching it, and you're just like, Minnesota's got a matchup advantage about 3 spots on the floor right now. And then when they force switches, it's about 4 spots. And it was just like they were bigger. They came out. It was weird. It was like the Lakers and the Warriors almost came out with kind of the same manner. And at least the Warriors were up 3-1. The Lakers needed this game, but they were just bigger, stronger, better all the way through. But Clint, I will say, as somebody who is a huge, huge LeBron fan, this and has followed him all the way through, this to me is the most serious I've given the actual thought that retirement's on the table. Like, I he may play, maybe he plays another year. I think it's a serious thing. Years before, I think he is tried to send messages to the organization, try to force them to make moves and do things and be more competitive. But I'm watching him, and if you watch the last several days, and I know many people will just say, you know, things like Jordan would have done this or Kobe would have, you know, it's always that stuff. But if you look at it, I mean, he was exhausted. He was from about game three on, like he just didn't have much in the tank. And I think he has to sit there and look at that and be like, damn, man, there's no need to play this yet.
I feel your emotion.
I think he has to sit there and say, man, this is game five of the first round. And I'm sitting here in the fourth quarter and I am whipped.
Yeah.
He's in it to win a championship. For him to go and think to himself, it would have taken me three more rounds of this.
Yeah.
If we got to him. Right. Like, so I think he is finally looked older. I don't want to say 40, but he finally looked older.
Yeah.
And I think it's seriously on the table.
Well, I don't think it is.
You don't think it is?
Well, no, I think it's, well, I mean, it could be. Hell, he's 40. What, he's 40, 41? I mean, it could be.
Yeah, he's 40. He'll be 41 in January.
I mean, but to me, it's very easy to look at what he's been asked to do and kind of how this season unfolded and understand that there are fixes that it don't have to be that way, right? You know, I think him putting an emphasis on getting chemistry and getting time with Luka when the trade was made, I think that forced him to play more than he wanted to down the stretch. The smaller lineup, not having bigs that J.J. Redick
he had to play center.
He's having to play fours and fives. I think that hurts. For whatever reason, J.J. Redick not even pulling him out of the damn game in the second half, playing complete. Like, all of that stuff, I think LeBron can look at it and go, man, I mean, that ain't a recipe no matter who you got on the squad to go win a championship. So, now, does he take that old team-friendly deal and allow him to go out there and get some, you know, get some help, and which will allow him to play another year, maybe another couple years with his son? I think all that stuff factors in. And I think you're going to take this as a shot, but I'm not. Like, I don't know how ready LeBron is to let go of the attention. Like, you know, athletes have a lot of athletes, especially that caliber, have a hard time just kind of blending in. Hey, I'm done. I'm out. I'm going to ease on back. And I know he's got all kind of the crap that he's going to do. So, but he strikes me as a guy that's
ready to be done.
I don't know if he's ready to let all that go.
Yeah, listen, he may get away from it a little bit and, you know, feel differently in a month or so. I'm just saying right now, watching him felt different in terms of, and again, he had to do a whole lot of stuff. Like, I don't know if he's ever had to play four or five games against Rudy Gobert and Julius Randle. Like, I don't know if he's had limited rest. I don't know if he's had to do that. And yes, there could be some deals. Like Rob Pelinka today, their general manager, said, we're going to do everything to build this roster around these two and build this roster and hope that LeBron, you know, returns back with us. Mm-hmm. But I just look at this and he has to be thinking, yes, it could be easier, but what is it going to take for me to complete four rounds? Like you go and watch, like we have watched this Rockets Warriors series. Like, and I look at the Warriors, like, how is Steph and Jimmy going to get through three more rounds of this? If they are able to get through the Rockets, how are they going to get through the Timberwolves and maybe OKC or Denver? Yeah. And like, they're both hurt already.
He needs some help.
Like, so, I mean, that's like, that could be tired. I'm with you. I don't know if he's ready to give up that stuff and be done with it, but it's the most I've taken it serious than ever. All right, coming up, I want to gauge Texans fans on something. I felt like I had a pretty good gauge on it last year. I want to gauge on what Texans fans are thinking. It might get a little annoyed, but we'll discuss that coming up next, right?
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Going on. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Here live on the drive. How bad do you want to get out of this football hell?
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Turds list, it is Thursday. That's coming up just a bit. We'll see where...
Did Ron make it?
He goes there. Nah.
No 610 team members this week.
I'll be damned. You must have been busy not listening to other shows.
No, man.
Just a lot of turdish behavior out there.
I didn't do my job.
A lot of turds floating around.
I didn't do my job well enough this week. You know, Tyler likes to put people on the list sometimes for doing good. You know, like the Warriors.
Well, that's what makes it good. That's what makes it Tyler's turds.
It's his list, baby.
Not just any turd. Not just any old turd floating around the bowl. This is Tyler's turds.
It is Tyler's turds. That's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Tyler's got a different diet, so they're different turds.
They are different turds. Yep.
Little monster. little monster. Very solid. Very little solid food and monsters.
And a lot of beef jerky.
A lot of dirty water.
Yeah,
that too.
And tenders.
Couple small tenders.
Buffalo.
Tender and a half.
Tender and a half and two half, fries.
Man. Buffalo.
And man, eat a tender and a half, belch.
Man. Hey, as he's asking for it to go, plate.
Shut the hell up.
Hey, can I get a to-go box?
I will admit, Tyler does make me consciously eat slower. Let me slow down here, man. I've pieced through half this thing already. He's taking a bite. He sets it down for 15 minutes to where he gets to his next bite.
Rod said,
digestion is probably great the way he's able to let it run through.
Rod said he eats a tender and a half.
We went to that SaberCast game the other day. I had about six buddies when a regiment over with us. But anyway, one of my boys I played high school ball with. Anyway. I mean, he's built well, thicker dudes, you know, and I had forgotten he'd had that gastric bypass. Mm. So, I mean, he orders normal, right? Kind of like you say your mom does. Orders with his eyes.
Yeah, then knows, and we know we about to fill up the fridge.
Right. I look over there and he's getting to go. I mean, he ain't even a third of his plate. I mean, he's a good sized dude. Like, I mean, he's big dude. I'm like,
yeah.
In my mind, I'm thinking, why is he doing that, man? I ain't hung out with my boy in a minute. Why is he doing that? And then we get to the deal, and then we're sitting. We walk in, we start eating crawfish and drinking beer. He's like, "Hey, man, y'all got to realize, man, I got half the stomach I used to have. I can't do this." I said, "Oh, damn." You over there eating like Tyler, getting a to-go plate at Twin Peaks with two-thirds of your damn meal on there.
I do like Tyler will open up the box again.
Nibble on it throughout
the
night.
Sitting there long enough, yeah, he will open up. He will open up the box again and do that. All right, Tyler, we need you in on this as well. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch text line can roll through on this too, because I just want to get a gauge right now. As was it May 1st? We're sitting here, and I just remember this time last year. Now, Tyler, you tell me if I'm wrong. You've been here and a fan longer than hell, both of us as someone being in this city around the Texans for the last several years. I said it, I felt it last year, going into training camp, going into the season, last year was the most anticipated and excited Texans fans were going into a season.
Yeah.
Right? Coming off of C.J. Stroud and finding out who he was, surprisingly winning the division and then winning a playoff game and then losing to Baltimore and then all the additions that they've made, bringing in Diggs. I remember after they brought in Hunter, they brought in Alshire, they brought in Joe Mixon. Then Diggs came. I remember I said, Houston, you have a Super Bowl contender. Remember we said that. Never got a promo made out of it, but I remember you said that.
I'll never forget.
Houston, you got a Super Bowl contender. Felt that way. Thought like, hey, this is a team that has really, it feels like, has all the pieces to compete with the top of the AFC. And if you have that, then you're a Super Bowl contender. And I think a lot of people could not wait till the season started. Could not wait. Looked at the schedule. Could not wait for these games. And really, really were thinking, not, you know, sometimes you got to, Texas fans know this. As a Chiefs fan, I have done this before. Patrick Mahomes, a Kane. Squint yourself to get into the Super Bowl. You know, like, well, you know what? If Brian Hoyer really, like, if he could get up here turnover free, or if we could stay injury free, and it, like, you squint your eyes. No, I don't think there was a squinting of the eyes at this point. It feels like last year many people thought, hey, we got a shot. Where's the level right now? What's the excitement level / anticipation going into this season? It feels to me that it's different than going into last season. We talked about this, but where are fans at? I just want to get a gauge on where people are on their anticipation and excitement going into next year.
I think it's a similar excitement level, not quite as high, similar excitement level. And I say that just because, man, to me at least, this is still a brand new feeling, having a franchise quarterback. So this new feeling with that, that comes with that, like, I feel like I'm going to be pretty damn excited to a degree before week one every year, as long as C.J. Stroud's playing football at a high level. That being said, I think the main difference between going into last season and right now in this offseason is there's also, I think, a lot of anxiety, a lot of anxiousness with Texans fans as far as this offense goes. The new play caller, the disappointment it was last year whenever you were going into that year with that three-headed monster. I think there's some anxiousness to see what this offense actually does on the football field.
Yeah, I think the excitement level's down significantly.
Yeah, it feels like it is.
Well,
I think it's
a natural decline. I think when you win, you know, that you're no longer the dysfunctional organization that jumped out of the gutter and now you're competing with the big dogs. You've won 10 games 2 years in a row. You've been in the second round of the playoffs 2 years in a row. The expectations are to do what you've been doing and more. And so I think. You know, it's old hat to be in the gutter. You're already up there. You're dancing. Like, that's old news, right? So I think the excitement level is less because they've had success, and I think the excitement level is less because they're not as talented on the offensive side of the football. When I say talented, there's no Steph Diggs coming in. Joe Mixon is already here. You know, like I said, the Dalton Schultz, paying him $12 million a year and keeping him here last offseason, hell, I got excited about it. You know, it's that excitement's not there. Laremy Tunsil is gone. Stephon Diggs is gone. Tank Dell appears to be gone for a chunk of the season. Like, you felt like last year you had the dudes and it was new enough to where you still were excited about being on the upswing. Now you're here and you don't have those dudes. You haven't had those moves. And so I think the excitement level, the expectations, the excitement are they've leveled off, to say the least.
Next line come through. I got a lot more questions than I did last year. Yeah, well, I think that's very fair.
Well, I'll tell you what's keeping me, and I tend to look at things through my fan lens is a little bit more as a former player, and whether that's accurate or not or fair or not is up to you. But That's kind of how I view things. And the fact that they, that I don't know as a fan right now, if they did or they didn't fix their biggest problem, which was pass protection, really, which was overall offensive line play. I don't know if they fixed their problem. I know they're less talented. And the guy that's calling the shots, we're back to square one with a guy that's never done it before. All of that, as a fan, I'm ready. I'm preparing myself to I'm trying not to get excited and over my expectations to be more realistic with this group.
Because, see, last year my thought was, and we talked about it, like, they can get on the field and they can compete and roll with the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Bengals at the time coming into last year thinking they were the Bills, right? The hell, we had thought they passed up the Bills when we looked at a lot of the moves and the changes the Bills made. I don't go into it with that thought anymore. I go into it as almost they're in the kind of the group below that and trying to build to that. From the text line still coming through, I'm hella excited, more on the defensive side of the ball now, but not quite Super Bowl yet. I'm AFC championship excited. I'm excited, but won't get my hopes up too high. See, that's it. People were getting their hopes up.
Yeah.
But people were like, no, my hopes are up. I am ready. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, we want the best in the league.
Yeah. Well, that is the one thing about the way this team is built is your head coach is a defensive-minded guy, one of the best schemers, play callers in the game, and he is absolutely loaded on the defensive side of the ball. Absolutely loaded. Now, in today's game, can you be a defense? Like, it's one thing to have a good, great defense in today's game. Can you be one-sided, that one-sided? Yeah. Is it fair to ask C.J. Stroud to carry so much of the burden on the offensive side of the ball? Do other guys step, does the offensive line step up and protect him and make this a full, a well-rounded football team? Or are we still having to overcome shortcomings? That's the question. But there ain't no doubt about this defense now. I mean, you want to talk about a reason to get excited?
That's
D'Amico with this group and what he can do scheme-wise. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. All right, coming up, Tyler's turds list. We will hear what he has there. Also, you'll get to hear from the head coach. You get to hear from Mr. Ime Udoka as he talked about how this thing kicked off and what the Rockets decided to do in terms of the key to coming out hot. We'll discuss that. Coming up next, right here live on The Drive.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All of the above. Physicality, attention to detail, focus, effort, communication. All of the above, the things we talked about where we have to be consistent in those areas, we were from the start on both ends. Great defense, had some guys that made some threes that we don't mind taking them, and other than that, we locked in on everybody and then turned our defense off and got out and ran.
That's Ime Udoka. That's him saying that was all of those were the key to coming out hot. And Clint, you got to know, for him as a coach, clearly over the last couple of days, they've really talked about what they need to do. And you could see, like, watching the start of that game, you could see, oh, I bet I know what they were talking about in that practice they had. I bet I know what they were talking about in film. I bet I know what they were talking about. Run, be aggressive, move up and down, go.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell, like, he had to be sitting there, man, we are executing everything that I want to see. And then when you get a man Thompson feeling so good that he's coming down and just shooting pull-up threes, then you really got something.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, if it's as simple as that, which it was last night, and when they're shooting it well, it's effective. If it's as simple as that, then they got a real chance to rattle off a couple wins here. It was a hell of a, I mean, hell, by the time I got home, it was up 10-15. Yeah. By the time I got comfortable on the couch, it was up 20. At one point, it was up 30. Yeah, I mean, so, they ran them smooth up out of the gym. They left them no choice but to get a rest night. You know, that's the thing is I want to make sure folks ain't out here just going, oh, well, that was a rest night. You know, I don't know how big of a win that was. No, I mean, they ran them up out of the gym and put them in a position where they needed to start talking about and considering taking that rest night and that rest day, getting that extra rest. But yeah, there's no doubt about it. They were able to get up and down the floor and do some different things, and it worked to their benefit early.
Yeah, everything he wanted them to do, everything they talked about seemed to work. So shout out to the Rockets as they force a game six. I'm sure we will continue with that throughout the show. But it is Thursday, and that means we have reached the time for Tyler's Turds List.
Pro athletes are sometimes a lot to handle.
We're just not good enough.
Maybe even a bit dramatic.
Altuve stole an MVP from Judge.
Turdish behavior will not be ignored. No one is safe.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
It's Tyler's Turds of the Week on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That is right. As I said earlier, no 610 team members showing up on the podium of turds this week on Tyler's Turds of the Week. Yeah, maybe next week. You never know. But that being said, some great candidates. It was an easy podium to put together for Tyler's Turds of the Week this week. And I'm going to start in the AL West.
Huh? Easy, huh?
Yeah. So simple. I'm going to start in the AL West, not with anything to do with our Astros, of course. They've been kind of killing it, heating up here as of late. But you love to see it. Old Faithful, the Los Angeles Angels. If you remember the start of this 2025 baseball season, the Angels had captivated the baseball world. We talked about it on this show. They were the hottest team to start the Major League Baseball season. The Angels captivated crowds around the country as this baseball season got started. Oh, they were so hot. I don't think they lost any of their first three or four series. They were slugging like crazy. Mike Trout was doing well. Oh, and he was healthy because, side note, yesterday, Mike Trout left the game.
What'd he do?
He left the Angels-Mariners game with knee soreness. And as I tell y'all, never root for a guy's injury, especially a guy like him. He does seem like a good dude, but these things are just going to happen every baseball season. And one day y'all will hear me out on it. The Angels are, again, where you typically find them, in the basement of the AL West now, dead last after that hot start. They are 12-17, dead freaking last. They are 2-8 in their last 10, and Mike Trout left yesterday's game with apparent soreness in his knee. It's just Old Faithful, and that's why it's the bronze medal for Turds of the Week. How do you feel about it?
Is it the Angels, or is it specifically Mike Trout?
Oh, he is an Angel, so it's the Angels.
Okay.
It's the whole squad.
It's the Angels with the sprinkling of Mike Trout.
Yeah, I mean, he's an Angel.
That is an odd deal, man, that they just can't get it going.
Mm-mm.
They haven't solved the pitching stuff either. But, I for one on this show, I hope he is okay. I hope this is not a...
I don't feel one way or the other. I'm not saying, like, I hope he's out for the season. Oh, this is freaking awesome. But it's going to happen. It's automatic.
I'll be honest. I think there is 2% of you that...
Well, yeah, I'm an Astros fan. he is really good when he's healthy. So anything to help the Astros, you know?
Mike Trout and, oh, God, the pitcher for the Rangers that has the arm problems. The starter they got from the Mets.
Oh, my God.
There was a damn near celebration that you had with him.
Who is this? Not Nathan Eovaldi.
I have lost his...
He's real high strung.
I could see his face for some reason. What's I just cannot name? Draw his name.
I don't know why right I want to say DeGrom.
Yeah, Jacob. Jacob
it's
DeGrom.
It's him?
Oh, yeah, it was Jacob DeGrom. When they brought him back or he got hurt for the year. And Tyler belted out that laugh.
A little belly laugh.
I was like, good God almighty. All right, there it is.
Speaking of the Rangers.
Speaking of the Rangers.
Yeah.
Segue, I'm ready for you.
Look at that transition. So your bronze medal to those suck-ass Angels. Get well soon, Mike Trout. Silver medal time. Staying in the AL West. One of the squads, really, that was an inspiration for this very segment, the Turds of the Week. That squad up in Arlington. Once again, you'll love to see it. If you missed it, I believe this was either over the weekend or the very end of last week. This is how the Arlington junk grabbers, as PC would say, the Texas Rangers, how they decided to lose a game in walk-off fashion to the Giants.
Ramos is 1-for-2. Taps this one to third. And he throws it down the right field line. Ramos is on the move. And he going to stop. No, now he's going to go to third. Here's the throw. It gets by him. Here comes Ramos. This game is over.
Tell me you've seen that one before.
Well, not since my oldest son was 10 years old.
Speaking of that, I was just thinking that that happened in Nicholas's baseball game the other day. Shout out to Jace Anderson, who got him inside the park on a couple of overthrows.
Which brings me to my point for this week's Silver Turd medal, the Texas Rangers. A little league-ass home run from the Giants to walk it off against the Rangers. Freaking beautiful. These bunk-ass Rangers, they're just going to keep doing what they do year in and year out, making stupid-ass mistakes where I can put them on this podium because they inspired this list. I feel they deserve it. Yep. So the Rangers are your silver medal this week.
There's several people that maybe wanted to meet at the lines there as we're coming in to end that game. Like, what happened there? How we got to meet at the lines there? Oh yeah!
Now,
I wanted, were there two outs? I just want to know how many outs there were.
I don't know.
This happened where they just said, "Let's just fire it all around the ballpark." All right, what's the gold medal? And I know you got the trophy right there.
Yes, gold medal time. We'll get out of the AL West for this one. As we all know, the Rockets took care of business yesterday. They are going to a Game 6, staying alive for 2025 against the Warriors right now in the playoffs. These young Rockets, gold medal this week. Once again, an inspiration to the segment. It's going to the Golden State Warriors. It's going to Steph Curry. It's going to Draymond in particular, those two guys. Because if you missed it, Game 4, those two gentlemen got a couple of technical fouls. Once again, more evidence, as I tell y'all, that Steph Curry is the biggest fake good guy we've ever seen in sports. Chew away on that mouthpiece, son of a bitch.
Curry at the free throw line.
After review during the altercation, three technical fouls have been assessed. A technical foul on Curry for taunting Brooks. Then during the dead ball action.
Oh, how?
As well as Green during the same dead ball action.
This doesn't make any sense.
Where Green picked up a technical foul. And nothing on Post and nothing on Jabari Smith. Here's the foul on Draymond Green. Is that what they're giving Draymond Green a technical foul for?
And as you heard Reggie Miller and his, God, that guy's ugly. You just heard Reggie Miller there. He's going to get a little mention for this gold medal, too, because I did not understand his apologistic tour for the turd known as Draymond Green. So Draymond, Steph, getting the text, acting, of course, like their minds are blown. They can't believe it. Steph Curry runs into the damn tunnel towards the locker room in middle of the quarter after getting teed up right there. Oh, but he's such a good guy. Such a good guy. Just had to go probably use the restroom real quick, Steph did.
To be as objective as possible, he is a good guy. And I'll be honest with you. Steph deserved the tech. It was sneaky. I didn't see him.
All his Turkish behavior is sneaky. That's my point.
You got two fouls in Dylan's face. And then Dylan, of course, needed to take the ball from him at that time. Draymond has probably earned a lot of technicals that he should not have gotten or that he should have gotten that he didn't get.
I think that's probably fair.
When I watch that, I don't know why he got a tech in that exchange. But he probably deserved it for something earlier, and he probably should have got ejected for what he did later on with Eason. So
yeah,
it evens out. But that was one where I can understand Draymond lost his mind. By the way, I got an honorable mention in real quick.
Yeah, I just want to wrap that one up by saying your gold medal was earned, Steph, Dre. And as I said, Reggie Miller, cannot emphasize that enough. Stop apologizing for a turd like Draymond Green. That's your turds of the week. And yes, I want to hear some honorable mentions.
The crazy thing is in San Francisco, they're saying the same thing about Reggie with Dylan Brooks. They're saying he's. I saw them. They had a topic. Is Dylan Brooks the most hated guy to the Warriors? It was a topic they had in their local station.
I would love to hear any audio of him giving love to Dylan Brooks like he was freaking chapping the ass of Draymond Green the other night.
Honorable mention, ESPN and NFL Network's draft coverage. Honorable mention to the turd list. Listen, I know Shadur was a huge story, but I think they did a real disservice to all of the other players that were drafted, especially around him and around the time. those guys just their names just ran across the screen. Like they didn't even acknowledge some of those guys. I mean, it was like 8-9 picks in a row. They just didn't even show the guy, break down the film. So listen, I understand it's a huge story, but I think they earn a spot, at least in the honorable mention of Tyler's turd list, for just not even really giving those other guys a moment. So what you got coming up at the
floor? Well, I got to give out an apology. I've been a little harsh on one of these fellas, and I don't do this often, but I've got to make sure I hit that before the day comes and goes. And there's a trend in the NBA that Ron, I got to know if this is real or not. It turns me on a bit, but I got to know if it's real or not. I'll tell you what that is, and we'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.